This morning, I would like you to take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. A very familiar passage. We're going to be looking at Meet My Good Samaritan. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. And this is going to be a different look at this parable this morning. And you'll see the reason why in a minute. But before we go to our passage this morning, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth. Father, I just ask, be with this time of message. Father, help your Holy Spirit just pervade this place. Help your truth just change us, Lord. Help us to see the things that we need to be changed to be more like you. Help us to be pure in heart. Father, I pray that you just keep our attention on you. That, Father, you bind Satan on our behalf. And, Father, that we would be changed today by your word. In the truth of it. And we ask these sayings in Jesus' name. Amen. In Luke chapter 10, verses 25 and to 37, it says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, 'Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said unto him, 'What is written in the law? How readest thou?' He answering said, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself.' And he said unto him, 'Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live.' But he, willing to justify himself, saith unto Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?'" Now we know right then and there the lawyer's not doing this. He's saying the right thing, but he's not doing the right thing. There's a lot of us out here today that say the right thing, but we're not necessarily doing the right thing. And so Christ goes on and he gives the parable of the Good Samaritan. It says, "But a certain Samaritan," it says here, "and Jesus answered him, answering said, 'A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead.' And by chance," you know, there's nothing by chance. Okay? "And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.' Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He that showeth mercy on him." Then said Jesus unto him, "Go and do thou likewise." See, Christ knew he needed something because he couldn't do what he was asked to do in his own strength. We know the story of the Good Samaritan. And we have here a lawyer and his questions. The lawyer here is one who teaches the word or teaches the law. He's in that religious crowd. He actually asks 2 questions. The first question is more fundamental, and it gets to the point of our message today. He says this. He says, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" That leads into a discussion from God. And Christ gives him an answer. It challenges him. He says, "What do you see in the law?" There's somebody outside, please. What do you see in the law? And he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. What does that mean? You see, to do this, it's all about love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We need to have a pure heart. That means it's a heart of love. And then he says, the lawyer correctly says, love thy neighbor as thyself. And Christ says, wait a second. Okay? And tells him this. And then he says, well, who's my neighbor? And it says here in the verse, it says, willing to what? Justify himself. So we see the lawyer in his question in verses 25 and 28 here. It is a good question. The first one is something that we all have to answer. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Because that is the crux of the matter. It is about eternity. It is about being prepared for eternity. And there is no escape from the truth of God's word. Now, as we go into the parable, we see the usual interpretation of this parable, the Good Samaritan, is twofold. It's to teach the responsibility of our neighbor. And that is absolutely correct. Because he's saying, Christ is answering, he says, who is my neighbor? It's the one that you do good to, okay? We need to do good to all of them. And to teach responsibility means to we need to love our neighbor as ourself. But here is the point. This parable has a much deeper meaning. It really answers twofold. It answers, who is my neighbor? But more importantly, it also answers, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? See, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, it says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us of entering into his rest or salvation, any of you should seem to what? Come short of it. See, when he got in a dialogue with Christ, Christ revealed that he was lacking something. Because the scripture says he's trying to justify himself. He's trying to make an excuse. Basically, he found out that what he was thinking on and what he was doing was found wanting or lacking. So this morning I want us to take a little bit of a digression and look at this parable in a different way. See, it starts out with a certain man. A certain man. You know, that certain man could be any one of us. The first point is let the certain man represent any sinner. Well, why would you say that? Well, look at the setting of this parable. See, God wants us to understand the deep things of God. And the point here is the first thing is he was going from where to where? He was going from Jerusalem to Jericho. We're going to find out he's going the wrong way.
Right.
He's going the wrong way. See, Jerusalem is a city of peace. You go back and study in Genesis how that Abraham coming back from the slaughter of kings when he was rescuing Lot and his relatives who had been captured. Along the way back, he meets this priest by the name of Melchizedek, which is called Prince of Peace. And it's Salem. And Jerusalem comes from that word. And Jerusalem is a city of peace. It actually means to set ye double peace. It's peace that is beyond what you think it is. But you know something else? Jerusalem is the place where God put his name. It's the place that everybody came three times a year to worship. It was the place where the temple was in. In the middle of it, there was a place, the highest place was called Mount Zion. In Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 5, it says, but unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his what? Name there. That place was Jerusalem. And everybody in the crowd, including the lawyer, understood exactly what Christ was talking about here. There, even to his habitation, shall ye seek, and thither thou shalt come. But here we have a certain man who is leaving the city of God. He's leaving the peace of God. He's leaving the habitation of God. He's going the wrong way. He's going from Jerusalem to Jericho. Jericho actually is a city of curse. If you realize when the nation of Israel came across the Jordan River, the first town that they encountered to capture was Jericho. And they walked around it for 7 days. And on the seventh day, the walls fell down. And they conquered the city, and Rahab and her family was saved. See, God always has a way. But here's the point. There was a curse put on that city. After they conquered it, Joshua said this. And Joshua adjured them at that time. He warned them. He says, don't go back and rebuild what you just conquered. Don't go back and rebuild what God has given you victory over. Amen. And he says, he adjured them at that time saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. And then when it's finished, his other son will be dead too. And that we find out that that's actually prophecy that was fulfilled. So Jerusalem is the city of peace. It's the city of God. And this certain man left this place to go to a city of curse. Here's something geographically. The road from Jerusalem to Jericho is downward. It's downward. I'll give you a map. Okay? And over here we have Jerusalem, and you see all these things. Everybody that's been in school and understand relief maps know that those are hills. And down here, Jericho is in the plain. Jericho is definitely lower than Jerusalem. In fact, when Christ went to Jerusalem, he said he went up to Jerusalem. And so here we have this certain man who leaves the place of God's refuge. He leaves the city of peace. He leaves where God had put his name there, which is what sin does for us. Sin in the garden separated Adam and Eve from God. Sin separates us. And then we find out in Romans that Christ is our peace to bring back reconciliation to us. So the certain man left Jerusalem. He goes to the city of cursed. And sin will bring a curse on your life. It brings death. And it puts you on a downward trek. That if you just keep on going down that road, it just keeps on going further and further down. And you keep on getting further and further away from God. And so, this certain man represents any sinner. So what happens when you're on that downward road? What happens when you are going away from God? What happens when you go into the city of curse? Well, you fall among thieves. Good things don't happen when you're on the wrong road. Bad things happen. And once you start that downward spiral, Satan wants to make sure that you stay there. We see that as he traveled, he fell among thieves. Their identity is as agents of Satan. Christ talks about the people who are not doing godly things and says, you are of your father the devil. Right. In the parable of the sheep, in John chapter 10, in verse 10, it says, the thief cometh not, but to do what? To steal. You know, Satan wants to destroy your happiness. Satan wants to destroy your peace. Satan wants to destroy your joy. Satan wants to destroy everything that makes you you. And he wants to make you worthless. He wants to steal and then to what? To kill. What did these thieves leave? He left him half dead. He left him half dead. And to kill and to what? Destroy. Folks, there's nothing that ever can come good on by being on the wrong road and going downhill. Right. And then Christ says, I am come that they might have life. And that they might have it more abundantly. So he see he fell among thieves, their identities as agents of Satan, their actions. The first one is they left him stripped. You know, the Bible talks about garments. It says that we're supposed to put off the old man, put on the new man. In heaven, we're given white garments. These garments, the priest had priestly garments. So when they were doing righteous acts, they had these garments on. And when they were not doing the service of the Lord, they took them off. What's happening here? These thieves left him stripped. They took all the righteousness that this man had away. And folks, we know that there is none righteous. All righteousness are what? Filthy rags. There is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. That's what happens when you leave God and you're on the downward place to the city of curse and you fall among thieves. That's exactly where Satan wants to do so he can prey on you. So it can prey on you. And so then they left him half dead. Just a little bit of life in him. Just, well, you know something? We are all dead spiritually. Satan just gets done with us and just leaves us on the side of the road, half dead. Half dead. We see time after time in Proverbs. We see time after with the prodigal son, that after the riches and everything was gone, all the substance was gone, left alone. That's Satan. He wants to come and steal and to kill and to destroy. And this is spiritual warfare. This is real stuff, folks.
Right.
This is real stuff. See, all are dead spiritually. We, before we met Christ, are dead spiritually. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And you hath he quickened," brought them back to life, "who were" what? "Dead in trespasses and sins." So let this certain man represent any sinner. Maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe you've not received Him in the gift of salvation. You've turned your back on Him. You're going to the city of curse. You're going downhill. And Satan says, "I got you where I want you. And I'm going to strip you of everything that you are. And He's going to leave you bleeding on the side of the road dead. And you need help." This morning, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need a Savior. Amen. You need help. If you're on the side of the road bleeding because you've gone the wrong way, you need help. Amen. You need Christ. So this certain man represents any sinner. Secondly, let the priest and the Levite represent the empty solutions for sinners. There's a lot of ideas that man comes up with for making things feel good, making the pain go away, but they don't solve the problem. See, the priest represents the condemnation of the law. And think about this. Who's he talking to? He's talking to a lawyer. And think about when Christ was on his ministry, that everything that Christ did that was good, they condemned because he did it on the Sabbath day. He did it on the day that they didn't think it was right. They couldn't deny what was happening, but they sure could condemn it. And they judged it. See, Christ said, "He said, you give grievous burdens to be borne, and you wouldn't even lift up one of your little fingers to this." See, the priest, and we know the story, he sees the man, and he walks on by. You know, there's people in the world today, they think they have an answer, but they don't. Their answer is this. It says, "You should have come this way in the first place." And don't we always say that? We've said it ourselves. Well, that person got what they deserved because they shouldn't have been there in the first place. Romans chapter 2, verse 3 says this. It says, "And thinkest thou this, O man, thou judgest them which do such things? And doest the" what? "Same. That thou shalt escape the judgment of God." Remember what Christ said? He's called them white as sepulchres. He called them hypocrites. He called them fools. He says, the truth's not in you. He says, you're of your father, the devil. See, the law doesn't save. The law says that we're lost. The law says that we need a Savior. So see, the law can only condemn. Romans chapter 3, verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth shall may be stopped, and all the world may be what? May become guilty before God. Remember who Christ is talking to here. Remember what his first question was to Christ. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? And then it gets into this little side argument about who my neighbor is. And then we have the parable. But there's something else going on here. He said, you may know the law, but you don't understand the law. You know, this lawyer, his entire job was to basically give the people the law and tell them what it means. And then he was supposed to be an example of that. And he wasn't. The Pharisees and the priests, they were supposed to be the ones that were teachers of the law, servants of God, show people what to do. And the priest did nothing for this man that was left on the road, stripped and half dead. See, religion can't save you. Knowing something doesn't save. Knowing the facts about God doesn't save you. Having him down here saves you. The Levite passes by. He represents religious instruction and ceremony. Basically, some of the things that he could have said while he walked by is, I can tell you the route you should have taken, but you know that doesn't do anything to help the problem that you're in today. Maybe you're out there in a problem right now. I'm going to give you the answer. The answer is Christ.
Amen.
The answer is forgiveness. The answer is salvation. You may not think you need it, but if you're on the wrong road, you need it. And you need it badly.
Amen.
But you know, there's a lot of people that you try to get help and you say, well, I wouldn't have done it that way. Well, that's a lot of help. Have you ever encountered people like that? You come in the problem, well, I know. Why'd you do it that way for? You should have done something different. You should have followed the instructions. No more. Guilty. Or, now that you made the mistake, I can tell you the next time which way you need to go. That doesn't do you any help at the present. See, the point is neither of these meet the needs of this traveler. Religion doesn't get you to heaven. Going to some class for some period of time and then graduating from that class and then taking a communion or getting baptized or putting on a white thing doesn't make you get to heaven.
Right.
It just shows that you have knowledge. Doesn't mean that you have the Savior. Saying that you know Jesus up here doesn't mean you know him down here.
Right.
You need to understand who he is. It needs to be a change in your life and apply it to life. Paul, who was a Pharisee, who knew exactly what Christ was talking about here, talks to his young disciple, Timothy, and he tells him this. He says, all these dudes out here have a form of godliness, but they what? They deny the power thereof. From such, turn away. See, there is no replacement for the gospel. Ritual does not replace the gospel. Religious exposition or explaining of the Word of God and all the books you can have in the world don't explain the gospel. And it's not a replacement for the gospel. Instruction from people, unless it's from God's Word, helps no one. There is no replacement. In Mark chapter 7, verse 13, Christ takes on all these religious people because they complain. You can't heal on the Sabbath day. You can't eat with unwashed hands. You can't pick a plate of corn on the Sabbath day walking through a field. You shouldn't even be walking in that field, because that's the law of Moses. And you're breaking the law of Moses, and anyone that breaks the law of Moses is a sinner. True. True. But Christ wrote the law. And he says, the Sabbath was not made for man. It was made for man. It was made for God. And he says this in Mark 7, verse 13. He says, making the word of God of none effect through your what? Tradition. Your instruction. Your practice. Which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. Later on in Matthew chapter 23, verse 15, he says this. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, make one believe your way, make one believe your religion, make one believe your ritual, make one believe your practice. But, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the title hell than yourselves. Folks, this is an issue of heaven and hell. This is an issue of God or not. This is an issue of right and wrong. This is an issue of repentance. Satan wants to take everything away. God wants to give you everything. And it's not going to come from some sort of ritual. It's going to come from a relationship. And so the priest and the Levite, they don't do anything to this guy. They're empty. It's hopeless. So is there any help? Is there any help for this man that's laying on the side of the road bleeding? Yes, there is. Let the Good Samaritan represent the Savior for sinners. Because look at the parallel here. First of all, he was a Samaritan. And when everybody says Samaritan, you can't say that. Because the Samaritan was a rejected person. When Christ was talking to the woman at the well, the woman was surprised that Christ was talking to her. Because it says in John chapter 4, verse 9, it says, then saith the woman of Samaria to him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And the priest and the Levite had no dealing with someone to they could minister to. Because they didn't have the power to minister. But you know something? Our Savior was rejected by the same crowd. And in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3, it says, he is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it was, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. He came unto his own and his own received him not. God's answering the question. Christ has answered the question. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Not what you're doing right now. You got to change. You got to become like this Samaritan. Oh. The Samaritan was a rejected person. The Samaritan, it says, and as he journeyed, he passed by. He was on a definite destination. You know, when Christ was born, and we're going to celebrate his birth now this season, he put him on a mission for a specific destination, which was the cross. In Luke chapter 9, verse 51, it says, it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. So that priest said, nah, not me. Levi said, nah, not me. That Samaritan said, he's on the way. I'll stop. I'll help. Christ is here right now. The Holy Spirit is here right now. He knows that you're journeying right now. He knows that you're in trouble right now. And he says, I'll help you. I'm going the right way. So the Samaritan was a rejected person. The Samaritan had a definite destination. He came to where the man was. Jesus Christ is a friend of sinners. He came to the publicans and to the sinners. Left the religious crowd beside because they weren't listening to him anyway. Do you hear Christ today? Do you hear Christ today? Luke chapter 19, verse 10. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And in verse 33 here in our text, we find out that when he comes on him, he had what? It says, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had what? Compassion on him. He had compassion on him. Do you see the characteristics of Christ here? Do you see that he's telling, he says, you do the same thing, and you'll get to heaven. But you can't do this unless you know me as Savior. In Mark chapter 6, verse 34, it says, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with what? Compassion toward them because they were a sheep not having a shepherd. You know what sheep do when there's no shepherd? They go the wrong way. They go right into danger because they're foolish. They need someone to lead them out. This man on the side of the road that was bleeding, left half dead, needed someone to help him. Not someone to tell him what he should do. Help him do what he needs to do. To make him well. To make him whole. It says, as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them what? Many things. Because the lawyers and the scribes and the priests and the Pharisees that day weren't teaching them anything. So like Christ, the Samaritan was a rejected person. Like Christ, he had a definite destination. He journeyed. Like Christ, he came to where the man was. Like Christ, he had compassion on him. And like Christ, he delivered the man. He delivered the man. Look at verses 34 and 35. The first thing he did, he bound up his wounds. He fixed the problem that the man had. God's here today to fix your problems. To heal the brokenhearted. To give you joy for mourning. He poured in wine. Wine was used at the time as a type of disinfectant in that day. And when Christ delivers you, he takes away your sins. He cleanses you from all the sin. He makes your heart pure. He poured in oil. Oil all the way through the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit. And when Christ, we have a relationship with Christ, he gives us the Holy Spirit. And we become the temple of the Holy Spirit. He continued to care for the man. He put him on his beast and carried him. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Christ will carry you through. And took him where he needed to go. And then said, put him in a place where he could be nurtured and made well and paid for that. And he paid the debt that the man could not pay because Satan had taken it away. The thieves have taken away his clothes. The thieves have taken away his money. The thieves have taken away his health. The thieves have taken away everything. And he says, here, put him up here. Christ says, I go and prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will what? Come again. And the man here, the Good Samaritan, says, and when I come back, you see this? When I come back, whatever else is owed, I'll pay it. See, that talks about Christ. It talks about Christ in Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. It says, surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. John writes in 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. Where did this all start? This started with the lawyer asking a question. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Christ said, what's the commandment? What's the greatest command? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It was love of God that put Christ on the cross. It's love of God that gives you love right now. It was love of God that paid the penalty for your sins on the cross and sent his son to be the propitiation or the payment for our sins. And he put him in a good place. He put him in a sure place. And he says, I'm coming back. And when I come back, I'll finish the job. I'll take you home. Oh, folks, do you see this morning? This is a salvation message.
Amen. Amen.
We all, like sheep, going astray. We've turned everyone his own way. And the Lord God laid upon him, Christ, the iniquity of us all. The Good Samaritan took all the stuff that had happened to this man and made it right. Christ today can take everything that you're going through and make it right. But you need a relationship with him. Meet my Good Samaritan. Christ didn't have to do it for me, but I'm glad he did. The Good Samaritan didn't have to do anything. He could have been just like the priest and the Levite and walked on the other side. But he didn't. He went to the cross for me because he loves me so. And he took my sin debt and he took all those things. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, as we close. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace, ye are saved.
Amen.
And all the actions of the Good Samaritan show about the grace of God. He couldn't do it on his own. He had nothing. He was wounded and left half dead. And the Good Samaritan fixed him. Christ can fix you today.
Amen.
If you let him. Do you know him as your Savior? If not, you need to. If not, you're going the wrong way.
Right.
You're going to the city of curse.
Right.
You're going to hell.
Yep.
If you know him, you're going to heaven. And he's coming back.
Amen.
That's too harsh. No, that's the truth. That's the truth. And we don't apologize for the truth.
Amen.
And folks, are we going on the wrong path? Satan wants to rob you. He's waiting to wait. He's as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may what? Devour. Don't let him take your joy. Don't let him steal what God's already given to you. Amen? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day. Lord, I just ask you this time of invitation. Father, someone does not know you as Savior. Lord, I pray that today that would be the day of their salvation. Father, I pray that if there's some of us, Lord, on the wrong road, that we would turn back to you. We'd ask for forgiveness of our sins, Lord, and that you would just restore us, Lord, and heal us. Lord, have your will and way today. In this time, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.